In last week's episode, we discussed our top three tips to add distance to your drive and to your clubs in general. And this week, we're going to talk about the most important tip that we think that you should work on first and foremost before doing any other tips for your golf swing. So Janine, how about you lead us off?
Yeah. Finding those mechanics is all of it, basically. Not quite all of it. I pushed that a little bit too far, but probably about 95% of it. And then that extra 5% comes from the other work that you put in regards to strength training, speed training, all that good stuff. But I think one thing that a lot of newer golfers don't quite understand is they try to mimic potentially pro swings or somebody that they know and try to specifically copy individual pieces of the swing. And I think one of the big things that we really need to push people to get away from is everybody needs to understand that, yes, there's fundamentals to all of it. We kind of have to make the swing path end up in the same way to make the ball go where we want, but it's so individualized on how you get there. Because even if you sit down and watch some of the best swings on, say, the LPGA Tour, they look so different. Their backswings look different. Their tempo is different. They get through the ball in a very different way. I mean, you see some of them, they'll finish very balanced, very tall. And some of them, a super good example of kind of it is balanced. I'm not saying it's not, but more unique finish is Scottie Scheffler.
I was literally thinking that same thing.
He kind of gets off balanced in his finish, but it's because of how he has to get his body through the ball. And that's what I'm saying. It's completely individualized and you have to figure out what works for you. So
100%.
I think finding somebody to help you that also realizes how important it is to keep it special to you and find what works for you is so key to getting where you want to be with your golf game, your golf swing. So we've both personally experienced kind of going through different coaches, working with different people, having conversations with different people. And I don't know about you, but it's all part of the process, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Not one coach is a one size fits all. You know, everybody has a different connection and it sometimes it makes sense, sometimes it doesn't. Since I've played golf since, you know, I was 6 years old, I went to these camps and I had that one coach and he's still, can you believe it? He is still coaching a high school team. He wasn't my high school coach, but he's still out there coaching because I was talking to a junior camp and she's like, oh yeah, he's still the coach. I was like, he's still kicking it. He was a really great instructor. But then I had my high school coach and he was great as well, but I don't think I always resonated with everything he was saying and what I was learning from him. And then now years after that, then I found another person who I just started playing with. And then he was a pro and it's actually worked for me working with him. And then long drive itself is a whole separate thing too. And then you're looking at things differently. So then I had a different coach for that for a bit as well. And he really helped me think about what people are visualizing in long drive. So you bounce around and you don't take offense. Like the coaches don't take offense. You got to find what works for you. Or if you really like them a lot, then you work to communicate with them so that they can understand what style they need from you too. So it's a balance on both ends. But Janine, I want to ask you, coming from the softball angle, that's a little bit different because since I've, you know, been doing the straight golf, but how did you, or what do you look for when you are, you know, not a natural, or that's not the word I want to use, not a golf first mentality, but just a rotational sport mentality? Like, what were you looking for when searching for advice?
Sure. I mean, I will say the softball side of it, I was extremely fortunate that my dad almost put in more time on the research side than I did. I mean, when I was 10, 12, 14 years old, he was the person who really had the biggest impact on my swing and finding that power and getting my mind right in terms of how I want to approach at bats. And so that's one thing, is there are total similarities with how you get coached in me coming from softball going into golf. I required a very, you know what your swing is, you know what you need to do, execute it, have confidence. You can go up against anybody and everybody and succeed against them. So you need to walk up to the plate with that attitude. And I fought that for a long time. I mean, if I had, say, I had grounded out shortstop a couple times to begin the game, I was in my head and I won't deny it. And I feel like that's totally transferred over to my golf game. When we're standing on the tee box and taking a shot and we feel super confident about it, we're probably going to execute it. But when we have a couple of shots that don't really go our way and we start thinking and our brain starts churning of what's wrong, what's going on, so often it's not actually a problem. It's just because you're overthinking it and you don't swing the way that you should naturally swing and you should confidently swing. But yeah, I mean, from a coaching perspective, I started with some local PGA professionals just to kind of work on the simple swing fundamentals, because of course I was trying to get rid of that softball swing. And I will even admit, I went through the phase of let's go watch Rory swing and see how close we can get to actually swinging like him. And yeah, you can pick up some things from them, but like I said before, it's not practical. All the professionals have similarities and they move their body to get the club through in similar ways, but we all potentially don't have the same mobility that they do or don't have the same strength that they do. So we have to find what works for us. I've gone through a few different coaches before I got into long drive where there were some things that I loved and I have held on to up until this day because it resonated with me and I felt like it was something that I could go back and use as a mental cue to get myself back on track. But of course, like you have to find what works. And so it's entirely possible that you might come across somebody that gives you some insight and it doesn't work for you. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. And even some of the professionals, they have different coaches for different parts of their game. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with that either. But when I got in the long drive, I have worked with some amazing people, and who I'm currently working with has, I can see such a big difference in my swing. It's crazy. And it's helped me understand the bits and pieces of it, but I can tell how much it's translated to my normal golf swing as well. And I'm super excited to keep working towards that, because it feels so good when the changes that you make truly are working and you can actually notice a difference. So
mm-hmm. Definitely. No, when you get to that point, it's just like, oh man, like this is where it's been. You know, like I know it's been there, but digging down and finding that. And no, I also like how you mentioned the different mobility and different strength. Like, let's be honest here, different gender, you know, there are different shapes and bodies, whether you're tall, you're short on the short end. So my swing's going to look different than somebody who's super tall. And you just got to know that that's happening. And you know, if anything, when I look at the pros and I watch their swings, I kind of like to look at their tempo more than anything. I think I watched Rose Zhang's swing, and sometimes if I feel like I'm off, I just need to watch a video of her or something. And I don't know what it is, but it's imagining like, okay, here we go. This is the tempo. And I think there's different programs and online things you can find too that help you improve your golf game with the tempo, or just knowing where to improve yourself on the course, and mental game too, because you were talking about stepping up and if you hit a couple bad shots or you're grounding out in softball, you know, thinking about that mental game and how to use that to then shift your mindset. Because when you're overthinking, you're not really accomplishing what Absolutely. You really have the ability to do. So I think you really said that well.
Yeah, I mean, we could totally talk forever about the mindset side of it, and we probably eventually will, but
we will. Not today.
But yeah, it's just finding the right person, finding your person, finding who you resonate with, who can speak to you, and it clicks. That's huge, absolutely huge. So we started this talking about swing mechanics specifically, and maybe just to touch on, for those of you who aren't as familiar with maybe hitting in front of a simulator and actually getting some of your swing numbers, it's super helpful, especially when you're trying to work on your swing on your own without a coach in front of you, or when you're not sending videos back and forth to your coach all the time. You can get instantaneous feedback from swinging on the simulator.
100%. I think the hardest thing about that is learning what the numbers mean. So I'll let you guys know, I'm more of a data-driven person. You know, people can talk about the feel and everything, and everybody learns in a different way, just learning style in general, you know, auditory, kinesthetic, visual. It's like that in golf in a way, but I'm more data-driven. So the pro that I work with now, it was the first time I actually looked at simulator numbers and he described what they meant. And I was like, light bulb moment. I'm like, really? So that, yeah, you can use a launch monitor, go to a simulator, and I can look at those numbers. And when I'm hitting, I'll be like, oh man, I'm seeing these numbers. That means that this is happening. And then whether you've already gone over those corrections with your coach, or maybe online, you look at a few different corrections to help you with things, you're able to help fix yourself. And that's what I love about the technology nowadays. Cause did I have that back in my day? No, I didn't. So it makes me seem so old, but yeah. So if I had to pick numbers, and Janine, you can add or subtract anything that you like to see, but I think there's three numbers that really come to mind. There's kind of a fourth one too, but I would say your club path, the attack angle, smash factor, and then my fourth kind of one is the face angle. So getting into it, the club path is basically an in-to-out swing or an out-to-in swing. That's to keep it simple. It's basically, are you coming over the top, which is an out-to-in swing, where your arms are leaving your body, which we're on a podcast here. You can see this visually, but if you can't, your arms are pushing out and then you're coming through closer. So you push them away and then you come through closer, coming through and hitting the ball. And that's an out-to-in swing. And that's pretty typical for softball players. So working on that, definitely finding a coach that knows that sport, that's super helpful for that.
Well, and to stop you there, thinking about it a little bit more in terms of just the club head impacting the ball instead of the actual swing, it's purely, if you're thinking about a golf ball sitting on a tee and you have a straight line out in front of you, an out-to-in swing means that the club face is actually further away from your body before it hits the golf ball, and it finishes, like, after golf ball contact, it finishes closer to your body. So if you flip that into out, which is, we'll get into this a little bit more, but into out is a little bit more standard with your professional tour players, and that's the club head comes from closer to your body and contacts the golf ball and exits further away from your body. So I tried to describe that in a way that was not dependent on whether or not you're right or left-handed, but hopefully that one will make sense.
I like that, Janine. Thank you for saying that. That was, see, two different mindsets, two different ways we see things. And that's what I like.
Well,
is that we can both bring that.
Absolutely. And the way that you described it, it's totally a more common way of causing a out-to-in swing, but it's entirely possible that somebody makes it happen without actually swinging over the top. So
yeah, and it's hard to see. That's why you should really videotape yourself too, because then you can draw a line from the ball up your arm, and should your club be above that on your downswing coming over that, that's when you know it's an out to in swing and you're coming over the top. So those are some little tips there. But in to out, so the reason we're emphasizing, so out to in is not as good as in to out. We should clarify that first of all. In to out, like you said, the pro tour players, they start with their arms closer and finish with the arms farther away after contacting the ball. And the reason they do that is you're getting that consistency. You're hitting the ball in the face where you need to hit it because of that path. And then you're also, you're going to go more straight. So consistency is that you're hitting it in the same spot, but hitting it straighter is a whole nother topic because of how you're hitting the ball. So that's what I have to say is the in to out swing without fail is going to get you the best shots. And that's how we're working on your swing in being better. So the numbers you're going to see when you're in a simulator launch monitor, you want to see a positive number for the club path. If you're negative, that means your swing is out to in. And some of the simulators actually say I-O or O-I if they don't say negative. So you want to keep that in mind too. But for the most part, this is general. If it goes to the left, it's usually a negative number. If it goes to the right, it's usually a positive number. So in this case, you want to start the ball to the right. Now, that's where the other number with the face angle, why I say that's kind of important, is like clearly if you're leaving the face open, the face angle open, the ball is going to go right. Mm-hmm. So you do have to offset whatever the club path is. You need to set that off with the face angle. And that's just getting a little bit too much in the details with what we want to touch on today. But that's why club path is probably the first thing I'd say. And keeping that between, you know, if you are negative, stay -5 or less. If you're above -5, that means it's really, you really need to work on this. And then I say up to +5 because there is, you know, you don't want to be swinging out too far because then you got to bring that back with the face angle so much. And there's just a lot of different numbers because the straightest ball you can hit is 0 club path. Okay.
Zero face angle, zero club path.
Yeah. Everything is 0. So that's the ideal number. But I'd say for most people, 0 is kind of hard to achieve. So when in doubt, if you can go positive, that is way better. So, I mean, that's the first number. Janine, do you want to talk about attack angle?
Yeah, attack angle is completely dependent on the club that you're swinging. So if you're specifically focused on your driver, you're going to want to be hitting a positive attack angle because that means you're hitting up on it and it's going to create more carry, more distance off the tee. Pretty much anything else, you want to be hitting down on it. So say your irons, your wedges, as if you've watched slow-mos of anybody who strikes the ball really well, it's club face or club head coming down, contacting the golf ball, and then contacting the ground. So that's where that ball compression is going to come from. And that's where efficient spin and really nice ball flight is going to come from. So kind of being aware of the fact that that attack angle is really going to change depending on what club you're swinging. And I can even resonate to this. That's why I have had a struggle between one day I will be hitting my driver really well, and other days I'll be hitting my irons and my wedges really well, and the other one will be working. Because your swing's going to have to change a little bit. And there's plenty of different ways to actually make that switch from a negative to a positive attack angle. But just kind of finding that consistent swing where you know for a fact the specific change that you're going to make or whatever feels right is going to cause that attack angle to be where it needs to be for the club that you're swinging is huge. So some of these long drivers just kind of going to long drive specifically. I mean, more attack angle is just going to help. Obviously, you don't want to be hitting sky balls that are perpendicular to the ground, but a nice drive is going to be probably 12 to 14 degrees launch angle. Now, I say launch angle, that's the ball flight. Attack angle, I mean, you want it to be positive, like I said, but more distance, you're probably going to want it to be in the 4 or 5 degree range, if not more, to get more distance.
100%. I agree with that. I think 4 to 5 is probably that right number. Anything above, like as a long driver, you know, I'm getting up there even more than that. But for a normal everyday golfer, like let's set the standard for normal golfer, long driver. Okay. Yeah, two separate
absolutely.
Things.
Absolutely. I mean, positive in general is going to help because I will admit, even when I go out and play, which lately hasn't been super often and definitely going to change that now that the weather's getting warmer, but I've totally seen lots of people who hit down on their driver and yeah, it could work for them, but they're totally missing out on extra distance by doing that.
Mm-hmm. You know, they actually say PGA professionals, the men don't have as much of an attack angle as the women or most amateur men. Maybe it's the amateur men. Maybe I'm mixing them. But they're hitting more down on the ball versus LPGA women get more distance because they're hitting up on the ball. So that's something to note that's why some women can hit further because that's what they know how to utilize what they need to do. So that's the other number. So we got club path, attack angle, a little bit of face angle in there I mentioned. And then our third number would be smash factor. Or some people have it like efficiency, things like that. So to understand this, the maximum number that you're going to see on there for smash factor is 1.5. And how you get the smash factor number is your ball speed divided by your club head speed. So it's taking into the fact of that number as ball speed is how well you're hitting the ball and how fast is coming off of the club face. Did I say that right, Jeannie? Okay.
Yeah, for sure. And just to kind of, for those of you who don't really understand where the 1.5 comes from and why is it 1.5, golf and the USGA have essentially set limits to club heads. So that's why 1.5 is pretty much the standard. You might see like a 1.51, 1.52 maybe, but it's purely because these manufacturers are required to limit basically the pop off the club head. And this is for drivers only specifically. Of course, you're not going to see nearly as high of a 1.5 smash factor on an iron because when the loft comes in, you're not making as solid contact on the golf ball. So your 8 iron, you might only get like a 1.1 smash, 1.2 smash, if even. So keep that in mind as well. But just to kind of understand and give a little bit more background on where that 1.5 comes from.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So there's that limit. So here's the thing. If you're hitting 1.5 and you're hitting your driver, awesome. You're good. That's a great number to see. We love that, you know?
1.5 and straight.
1.5 and straight. And that's where the club path comes into play. Then you're looking at the club. So these are why we have these numbers. Because if your smash factor is 1.5, your attack angle is nice and positive, and your club path is 0 or positive, like I can guarantee that your ball is having a pretty good flight. You are hitting it pretty well. Now, obviously, there's other numbers with the curve and the face angle. Then are you like pulling spin, open face? The spin comes in. There's so many numbers, and I don't want you to get bogged down in the details, okay? Let's keep it simple. Let's look at those numbers first. And then if you want to go from there, if all those numbers are great and you want to go from there and work on other aspects of the game, please like go and do it. But those 3/4 are probably the most important numbers to know when you're trying to improve your swing and you just want to swing better. This is where we're starting. And then if there are other numbers that you note down when you're talking with a coach or another professional, that's those are some numbers that you can also focus on and continue to work on. So I am a huge fan of launch monitors and simulators to be able to see the data, because when you go out on the course or you're on the driving range, you're just seeing the ball flight. So you're not seeing the numbers to tell you what's going wrong, which is great to practice with. You can't always be in the simulator. You have to go outside, but it just gives you that confidence like, oh, I saw this kind of ball flight. So this is the data that's probably wrong, or this is the data that's probably off. And so this is how I need to improve it. So it's kind of a full circle moment. And that's what I'm thinking in my head when I'm up there on stage doing long drive. I'm like, oh man, like that ball was a little bit open. I got to fix my face. Okay. Tighten the grip, you know, little things like that. And I think the more you practice, the more you learn, the more you put yourself in those situations, you're going to get better.
100%.
So that's,
and you kind of already touched on this, but having that mental connection of knowing what causes a certain ball flight or what causes your shot to be shaped in the way that it is huge, because when you figure out how to make adjustments based off of that, that's when you unlock a completely new level.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's the thing. And you just gain more confidence in the game. That's the thing. That's what I love to see. I want to see people playing with confidence. I want people to have fun, you know, let's have fun with this, make this a fun learning thing. I think when people are constantly learning something new, you gain a little bit more happiness, because who just wants to be good at everything? That's boring. If you're good at everything, like, what are you going to do with your life? You know? So that's why.
Well, the enjoyment of going, this is the shot that I want to make, and then executing it, it just feels so good. Mm-hmm. So 100%, just spreading that feel of, hey, I just hit a fantastic shot, let's do it again. It's kind of an adrenaline rush, and it's addicting. You want to keep doing it. You want to keep finding ways to make that happen more often. So that's huge.
That's great. Yeah. I totally agree with you, Janine. Okay. Is there anything else that we missed? Any numbers or data or swing thoughts that you kind of utilize?
I think from swing numbers, we hit it pretty well, because the rest of it is just numbers on the result of your club path, attack angle, and face angle in reality. I mean, of course, speed comes with it as well. But if we go into any of those other numbers, it's, in my mind, it's really just a result of how you put yourself in position before impact. So really honing in on those, I think, is the majority of it.
Awesome. Love it. I love how you phrase that there at the end. Everything's after you hit the ball, you know, it's the result. So I think that resonates. It resonates with me. I learn more every day that I talk with you.
I love it.
Oh man.
Hey, but that's huge. Finding connections and finding other people who look at it in different ways is, with anything in life, not just golf, is going to go so far. Because I love hearing different people's perspective on how they go about daily life and thinking about, oh, they don't go through a perfect world every day. And so how do they actually react to that? And how do they decide, okay, this is my goal, these are my ambitions, this is what I want to make happen today. It's different for everybody. And so it can relate to golf as well, but just finding your groove, finding that group of people around you that's going to make you better every day, that's so important.
100%. Well, ending on that note, Janine, that was a great finish. We better wrap this up, or else people are going to stop listening to us if we go. But this was a great conversation. We're going to hit up on the strength and mobility in the next episode. So stay tuned to the Distance Factor podcast.